Support for this Public Radio Tulsa podcast is provided by Chamber Music Tulsa, who brings the world of chamber music to Tulsa in live and streaming performances and educational outreaches. For more information, visit chambermusictulsa.org. In late 18th century Vienna, the term Gassenauer was used to describe a popular song that you might hear throughout the streets of the city. These might have been folk songs, or they might have come from some of the more popular operas of the day. Ludwig von Beethoven didn't compose many Gassenauer of his own, but he could certainly recognize the virtues of a deceptively simple tune, and in 1797, he incorporated one of those street hits into the last movement of a pioneering trio for clarinet, cello, and piano. It's Beethoven's Gassenauer Trio, Opus 11, in 10 minutes or less. I'm Jason Heilman. These days, we've come to accept the clarinet in classical music, but that wasn't always the case. Although the instrument itself goes back centuries in one form or another, the clarinet didn't really make its way into chamber music until Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart took an interest in it in the 1780s. During that time, Mozart had become friends with a Viennese clarinetist named Anton Stadler, who used his musical and mechanical skill to make the difficult instrument refined enough for polite company. Mozart ended up composing an entire repertoire for Stadler, including a trio for the unique combination of clarinet, viola, and piano. But it takes more than one composer to set an instrument into the musical firmament. After all, Mozart also wrote a bunch of music for the glass harmonica, and you don't see kids starting out on that in the sixth grade. The clarinet might have also fallen by the wayside if it wasn't for another composer who happened to have been Mozart's biggest fan, Ludwig von Beethoven. And like Mozart, Beethoven wrote for one clarinetist in particular. When he was just starting out in Vienna in the mid-1790s, Beethoven tended to focus his energies on chamber music, which had two main attractions for a young composer. It could be published and sold to amateur musicians for quick cash, and it offered the chance for friends to collaborate musically. One of those friends was Joseph Baer, who was making a name for himself as the leading clarinetist in Vienna at the time. His reviews rivaled the attention that Beethoven himself had been getting, and so in 1796, Beethoven created an excuse to collaborate with Baer for the first time. The piece was another homage to Mozart, a quintet for piano and winds, which ended up being one of Beethoven's most uncharacteristically cheerful works. That piece would go on to be published as Beethoven's Opus 16, and while Baer had been just one of the musicians in the ensemble on the premiere of that quintet in 1797, the experience clearly made an impression. Not long afterward, Beethoven wrote another piece that featured the clarinet, this time much more prominently in a smaller ensemble. The piece was a trio for clarinet, cello, and piano, a group that mirrored the popular piano trios of the day, only substituting the clarinet for the violin. Although several subsequent composers would come to write pieces for this ensemble, most notably Johannes Brahms a century later, Beethoven's trio seems to have been the first. Beethoven's B-flat major trio begins with a bold statement that sounds more like a concluding cadence than an opening gesture, which then gradually builds to become the first movement's primary theme. This theme transitions pretty emphatically to the expected dominant key of F major, but then Beethoven throws a little curveball, giving us what sounds like it's going to be an important new theme in the key of D major, before transitioning back to F. Thank you. This all happens pretty quickly, so it can be easy to miss. It just shows the young composer's willingness to bend the rules. Later on in the movement, that little subdued fake-out announces the beginning of the development, where these two themes are broken up and varied before coming back again intact to bring the first movement to an abrupt close. The Adagio's second movement, set in the key of E-flat major, opens with the cello, playing an expressive lyrical melody. That melody gets passed to the clarinet and then the piano, but the genial mood Beethoven spins here is broken up by a brooding episode at the midpoint of the movement before the opening music comes back at the end. The third and final movement of the trio is a set of variations on an aria from L'Amor Marinaro, or Love Among the Sailors, also known as The Corsair, a 1797 comic opera in Italian by the Viennese composer Joseph Weigl. A former student of Mozart's, Weigl was at the time the Kapellmeister of the Vienna Court Theater, a job that Beethoven would later pursue without much success. This light and breezy aria was the breakout hit from Weigl's opera, and in true comic fashion, it starts out with the lyric, "Before I take on this mighty task, I'll have a snack."
Priacchio l'impegno magistral prenda, far duo merenda, far duo merenda. Io che ho l'impegno magistral prenda, faccio merenda, io che ho l'impegno magistral prenda, far vuo merenda, faccio merenda, io che ho l'impegno magistral prenda, faccio merenda, far vuo merenda.
We don't know what led Beethoven to use this cute little melody in this trio. One story has it that he was specifically asked to write a set of variations on this aria either by his publisher or by the clarinetist Joseph Baer. The more popular story is that Beethoven had just heard the song everywhere he went in Vienna during the fall of 1797, and he simply associated it with street buskers without knowing it had come from an opera. That version of the story is how the trio acquired the nickname Gassenauer, a German word for a popular song that literally sweeps the streets. But regardless of how he got to know this deceptively simple tune, Beethoven was able to draw 9 variations out of it in a wide variety of characters, one of which takes the melody to operatic heights before coming back down to earth at the end. Of course, as I alluded to earlier, one of the main reasons for writing piano trios during Beethoven's time was commercial. Unfortunately, the clarinet wasn't a popular amateur instrument at the time. Early clarinets were expensive and wonky, and clarinet players had to be tinkerers as much as musicians in order to get them to work. But Beethoven had a solution to that problem. When he published this trio as his Opus 11, he created 2 versions, one with the clarinet and another substituting the violin. Both versions are remarkably similar, showing that Beethoven may have had this in mind all along when he composed the piece. Subsequent generations have played this trio with a variety of instrumental combinations, including substituting the oboe for the clarinet and the bassoon or even the viola for the cello, making this little trifle of a trio one of Beethoven's most versatile works. That was Ludwig von Beethoven's Gassenauer Trio, Opus 11 in 10 minutes or less. For Public Radio Tulsa's Classical Tulsa, I'm Jason Heilman. Thanks for listening.